In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So my family and I just returned from vacation. We got to travel to Delaware and Virginia and Tennessee. We got to see lots of family. We got to spend some time alone in quietness. The children went to camp. Becky and I got to read some books and to send out our Christmas cards. It's been years since we got to send out Christmas cards, so we called them moving cards and said, guess what? We're in New Jersey. Now, in our gospel today, we read about these two groups of people that are around Jesus. We read about the disciples and the crowds. Now, these two groups of people have a lot in common. They both have a desire to know Jesus. They both are seeking life in the kingdom of God. They both want healing. They both want to be taught how to live. And most of all, they both want to be loved. And I think when it comes down to it, these aren't really two groups of people. They are really just representatives of two stages in the spiritual growth and development that we all experience. First, we read about the crowds. Now, many saw that Jesus and his disciples going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And again, when Jesus got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. So there are these crowds around Galilee who wanted to know Jesus. They twice were told that they recognized him and that they rushed around, they hurried to go see him. These crowds were looking for someone. They were looking for something. They were looking for healing and for teaching and for guidance. Jesus saw the crowds and he knew that they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were frantically looking for someone or something to make them safe, to make them whole, to show them how to live in peace. Have you ever been on a vacation where when you came back, you were even more tired than when you left? Right? That's kind of a condition that we have, isn't it? It's those things where we try to pack too much in, and we're looking for that ultimate experience, and we realize finally that we need to get back to normal life and get back to my job just so I can rest. Sometimes all of our lives are like this, right? We're looking for that next thing that's going to make us safe and whole and happy. It might be a job or a check or a house or a car or a boat. It might be a relationship. It might be recognition of the good things that we've done or appreciation for us. Or it might be basic things, things like food or drink or drugs, anything that will feed our addiction to feel good. We look in all these places for happiness. And yet, they are all traps. They all make to us false promises because these things are not what are going to bring us safety and wholeness and peace and satisfaction. These things are not going to fill the hungry and the emptiness that is inside us. And instead, they're going to disappoint us and to leave us running after more, always more. The other group of people that we see in our gospel today, the other stage in spiritual development, is that of the disciples. We read the apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And Jesus said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." Now the gospel accounts are all pretty consistent in their testimony about the apostles, those 12 disciples of Jesus. And they are consistent in telling us that the apostles were not spiritual giants. They were slow to believe, slow to understand. They were a lot like you and me. And yet here at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, we hear how those apostles, those disciples, took that little bit of faith they had and they used it to participate in the mission of God. They used it to tell others about what they had learned from Jesus, about life and about themselves. They used it to bring healing to other people as they were present to others in care and in service and in solidarity and simply in presence. The apostles were no longer rushing around and chasing Jesus like Jesus was some kind of celebrity. They weren't just seeking dopamine hits to feed their addictions. Instead, they had learned how exhilarating it was to participate in Jesus' work. They discovered what it felt like to participate in the mission of God. And so Jesus' invitation to them was to continue to grow in their participation in that kingdom work. And how could they grow in that work, in that mission of God work? "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while," said Jesus. It's like he was channeling the prophet Isaiah, who wrote, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength." That's what the Christian life is like as the disciples begin to know who Christ is. That is the invitation to us to live a different kind of life than the life that we have known before. A gentler life. A less frantic life. We are invited to trade the desperation that we sometimes feel for confidence and contentment and for peace. And we are invited to create times, create space, create margin in our lives, empty spaces where we can have the room to notice the new things that God is constantly doing in our lives. That is the invitation of the church as we meet together week to week and we carve out this time from our schedules and set it aside to listen, to ponder, to pray about what God is doing in our lives. This is the invitation of the seasons of the church year as we think about different themes about within our faith. This is the invitation to daily prayer and to special retreats like that church picnic we had yesterday. Times to get away and to be alone with one another and with God. All of these times are given to us as opportunities to learn to live as Jesus lived. To follow Jesus' example. That's what disciples do. They follow. Jesus was one who often went away to be alone. He'd be away by himself all night praying, and the disciples would come around in the morning, "Jesus, where have you been?" Right? That's what he did. Jesus spent long periods alone in order to grow in prayer and in service and in love. And so life in God's kingdom, for us, is an invitation to rest in God's hands. It is an invitation to be comforted by the Holy Spirit. And that is not to say that life is always going to go the way that we want it to go. We will still face times of sadness and upset, frustration, and even anger. And as we grow into life in God's kingdom, we will come to realize that many of those times our frustration erupts primarily because our will is different from God's will. And so we continue to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," and seek to align our own will with God's will. For me, that's one of the primary functions of prayer. Jesus is worth rushing around for, right? And so if that's where you're at right now, if that's where I'm at right now, let's do it. Let's rush around and go find Jesus. But Jesus wants more for us than that. What Jesus offers us is this. Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while.